Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Before we turn to our second scripture reading, a couple of days before Thanksgiving dinners were served across the country, 100 or so people gathered in Liberty Park here in Harrisonburg to appreciate the poultry workers in our local community. We gave thanks for their hard work, both in the plants and after hours, as they organized to speak collectively to the industry owners and managers who could improve labor conditions and do what is right when workers are injured on the job. We gathered to pray, listen to stories, sing, march, and deliver a message to the employers. It was fitting for both Thanksgiving and a prelude to Advent. This Advent, we are welcoming Emmanuel. Prayer and worship, whether in a park or a traditional church building, is a way of welcoming Emmanuel, God with us. Living with gratitude and placing our lives in the service of the meek and the needy in the world is a way of welcoming Emmanuel. The biblical witness is that God is always with us, that we cannot go where God is not. But isn't there a difference between just assuming God's presence and welcoming God's presence and power in our lives? In the Gospel of Matthew, which will be in focus throughout this new church year, Joseph is a model for welcoming Emmanuel. Just when he had resolved on a plan for dealing with an unwanted pregnancy, Joseph instead accepted the instructions of an angel and welcomed Mary and the baby into his life. Now in the Gospel of Luke, Mary is the model for welcoming Emmanuel and names her son. Yet in Matthew, it is stepfather Joseph who names him Jesus. What Joseph thought he knew about God and faith unraveled, and he was then able to welcome Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Clearly, there is a backstory to Jesus, and it has something to do with Abraham, David, and the promised Messiah. In this gospel, the whole Old Testament, the lineage of Abraham and Sarah, the reign of Israelite and Judean kings, and the prophetic tradition of a Messiah are all understood as a centuries-long welcome of Emmanuel, who, according to Matthew's account, is born to a woman, adopted by a man, embraced by some, rejected by many, and will be with us to the end of the age. In this gospel, soon after his birth, Jesus is threatened by the king of Israel, and his family becomes refugees in Egypt for the first few years of his life. Today, the first Sunday in Advent, we join this lineage of those who welcome Emmanuel. Whether we are women or men, children or elders, we enter into Advent with the hope of meeting God, who is welcomed by the patriarchs, kings, and prophets of history, not as a rival, but as an alternative to their power, who comes as a child and even becomes a refugee. This past week, a CMC'er was talking with me about life and faith and theology, and she admitted that secretly there are some Christian things that she doesn't really believe. She never mentions this to anyone. I felt so privileged to be her pastor that she trusted me. And it was kind of my confirmation that I needed to preach on being agnostic in Advent. Grammatically speaking, being atheist means not believing in God. Being agnostic means not knowing. In Greek, gnosis, with a G at the beginning, gnosis means knowledge. So agnosis is unknown or not knowing. In everyday usage, being agnostic means not knowing about God. If ever there is a time for Christians to be agnostic, it's during Advent. You see, the whole season of Advent sets our ultimate certainty and any self-satisfied knowledge we've accumulated about the divine and upsets it. For religious folks, and here I'd have to include myself, folks who think we have God figured out, well, then along comes Advent, and we have to admit that we don't know. And for those of us who are simply uncertain, skeptical, questioning, or struggling in our faith, along comes Advent, and we remember that not knowing is part of the spiritual life, even a sign that God is with us. Our reading from Isaiah begins, "Shall not Lebanon in a very little while become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be regarded as a forest?" Well, maybe. Maybe in a little while. But when the prophet was speaking, Lebanon looked pretty empty and pretty barren. Maybe there is a seedling pushing up through the soil, but one could hardly bet on a future forest. The prophet's promise of the deaf hearing and the blind seeing and the meek and the needy receiving fresh joy is a message of hope, and Advent is all about hope. But it's also an acknowledgement that at least at this moment, right now, we don't hear, we don't see, we are needy, we don't know. "On that day," says the prophet, "the meek shall obtain fresh joy, and the neediest of all people shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. The tyrant and those who deny justice to the one in the right shall be cut off." I think of the immigrant and refugee poultry workers in our community who are not treated fairly. They don't know how or when their hopes will be realized. According to our prophets, current injustices won't last forever, but right now, we don't know how God's presence and power is at work in this situation. When we don't know, when we don't hear, when we don't see God's presence or power in the situations that most concern us, we can grow anxious. Being agnostic, not knowing, is not comfortable, especially if we belong to the church. Aren't we supposed to have confident faith at all times? Rather than accepting our agnosticism as part of the spiritual journey, we sometimes fill in the knowledge gap with our efforts or with 21st century escapist indulgences, entertainment, and toys, and stuff, and food, and drink, and work. And all this is very tempting when our dominant society is doing 27 more shopping days until Christmas, while the church is doing Advent. So what if this Advent we let ourselves be agnostic, not knowing, and experience that gap between our knowledge and God? Perhaps that gap, that Advent womb of unknowing, is where God's presence is made known, like the quickening of a child in her mother's body. Perhaps God prefers a bit of uncluttered space, a mind not yet resolved, or at least dreaming as Joseph was, an empty belly in order to be powerfully present in our lives. Historically, the church's practice of Advent is a season of the church year about hope, and it also includes a lot of penitential practices, giving, fasting, confession, and silence. These practices create the space and the place for our unknowing and an opportunity to welcome God in a fresh way. The psalm appointed for the last Sunday before Advent, last Sunday, is Psalm 46. Psalm 46, it's a great big confident psalm that begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And it ends with that familiar verse, be still and know that I am God. Well, my experience with being still is that before the knowing, there is some unknowing or not knowing. For me, being still opens up some agnostic emptiness where my self-assured theological convictions and thoughts about God unravel a bit, perhaps enough that I can begin to love God. If you know me, you know that I take a week of silent retreat during Advent, so I'm headed to Holy Cross Abbey in Berryville, Virginia, tomorrow. If you haven't planned ahead for a retreat this Advent, and you're counting those shopping days that you have left, then it might not be an option for you to take a retreat. Maybe the expense is an obstacle, or maybe the stage of life is an obstacle. So you may need to welcome Emmanuel with some stillness and silence in your ordinary days. That's probably best anyway. So far, stillness and silence has never pitched me into a complete crisis of faith, but it is awkward, especially for a pastor. But I believe it's all right to be agnostic in Advent or whenever. And I think the beginning of Matthew's gospel kind of shows us this in a humorous way. It starts out with a genealogy. It's very orderly. There were 14 generations from Abraham to King David, and then 14 generations from King David to the exile, and 14 generations, sort of, from the exile to Joseph. But all of this history and knowledge sort of unravels because the genealogy doesn't really lead directly to Jesus. The tail end says, Eliud was the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar was the father of Mathan, and Mathan was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, and Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The stuff of genealogy, the carnal knowing and the historical knowing, it ends with this awkward, silent gap of unknowing. Joseph wasn't the father, but he welcomed Mary and the baby into his life and into the world. This Advent, if you find yourself not knowing whether and how to believe in God, remember that you're not alone. The saints who have gone before us, they didn't register as agnostics, but they described a lot of unknowing, wondering questions and spiritual struggles. And throughout the Bible, God often works with people who are uncertain, who actually have no idea who God really is. And throughout the Bible, the people who are overly confident in their knowledge of God, especially the Pharisees, especially in Matthew, were the ones who are spiritually stuck. A traditional Advent reading nearer to the end of the Gospel of Matthew is about being agnostic. It comes much later in the story, when Jesus speaks like a prophet of a future age of justice and peace. He says, "About that day, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Not knowing is not a bad thing. So let's enter Advent quietly, without knowing when or how God's desire to be with us will be fulfilled. We don't have to invent this approach to our spiritual lives. It's just true. We don't know how God will be with us this Advent season. Rather than making us anxious as if faith might slip through our fingers, being agnostic in Advent means that we've loosened our grip, created a space, acknowledged our hunger, and named the real needs of our lives and the life of this world. Be still.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, "Jesus, I Believe You're Near," composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.